Something lost, something gained. He climbs into my car. He's dirty and he has a sour smell. His eyes are ringed by the soil that comes from riding trains. But there's a deeper shadow to those eyes. Like ashes. Like death. He needs a hair comb and a shave, and a mended needle applied to his pants. He speaks to me. "Where you from, miss?" he wants to know. He shows me a picture of his family, a wife, three boys. The photograph is all he carries. That and the shredding, stinking clothes on his back. I feed him two of the stale biscuits I've been hoarding and save the rest. I'll be hungry tonight, what with giving my day's biscuits away. But I can see the gaunt of hunger in his cheeks. He asks if I have water, and I shake my head, my tongue thick with thirst. He eats the biscuits. He doesn't care they're caked with dust. He finishes eating, and crumbs stick to his mustache. He's staring hard at me, and his eyes water. "I've done it again," he says. Taken food from a child. I show him my cloth bag with more biscuits. At home, he said, I couldn't feed them. Couldn't stand the baby always crying. And my wife, always that dark look following me. Couldn't take no more. Lost our land. They tractored us out so's we had to leave. Rented a while. Then moved in with Lucille's kin. Couldn't make nothing grow. I nodded. I know. We talked as the train rocked, as the cars creaked, as the miles showed nothing but empty space. We talked through the pink of the setting sun and into the dark. I told him about Ma dying. I told him about my father, and how the thing that scared us both the most was being left alone. And now I'd gone and left him. I told him about the piano and Arlie Wonderdale, and how I wasn't certain of the date, but I thought it might be my birthday. But he was sleeping by then, I think. He was like tumbleweed. Ma had been tumbleweed too, holding on for as long as she could, then blowing away on the wind. My father was more like the sod. Steady, silent, and deep. Holding on to life, with reserves underneath to sustain him, and me, and anyone else who came near. My father stayed rooted, even with my tests and my temper, even with the double sorrow of his grief and my own. He had kept a home, until I broke it. When I woke, the man was gone, and so were my biscuits. But under my hat, I found the photograph of his family, the wife and three boys. Maybe the photograph was left in trade for the biscuits. Maybe it was a birthday gift, the one thing he had left to give. The children in the picture were clean and serious, looking out with a certain longing. The baby had his eyes. On the back of the photograph, in pencil, was the address of his family in Moline, Kansas. First chance I'd send the picture back. Let his wife know he was still alive. I got off the train in Flagstaff, Arizona. A lady from a government agency saw me. She gave me water and food. I called Mr. Hardley from her office and asked him to let my father know. I was coming home. August 1935. Homeward bound. Getting away, it wasn't any better. Just different. And lonely. Lonelier than the wind, emptier than the sky, more silent than the dust, piled in drifts between me and my father. August 1935. Met. My father is waiting at the station, and I call him Daddy for the first time since Ma died. And we walk home, together, talking. I tell him about getting out of the dust and how I can't get out of something that's inside me. I tell him he is like the sod, and I am like the wheat, and I can't grow everywhere, but I can grow here. with a little rain, with a little care, with a little luck. And I tell him how scared I am about those spots on his skin, and I see he's scared too. I can't be my own mother, I tell him. And I can't be my own father. And if you're both going to leave me, well, what am I supposed to do? And when I tell Daddy so, he promises to call Doc Rice. He says the pond is done. We can swim in it once it fills, and he'll stock it with fish, too. Catfish, that I can go out and catch of an evening and fry up. He says I can even plant flowers if I want. As we walk together side by side in the swell of dust, I am forgiving him, step by step, for the pail of kerosene. As we walk together side by side in the soul-deep dust, I'm forgiven myself for all the rest. August, 1935.